Hello, everybody. This is Elaine, and I'm on a headset now. This technology is such a gas. You know, email is energetic mail, and that's kind of what psychic energy is. So this is so perfect, but it is so out of my element.
Elaine, I'm going to go in the other room because I'm hearing you twice, and it'll just be easier for me to center. Are you good with that?
Yes.
We've got Carl here centering with us. All right, great.
Right. So that was Laura Cornell. Laura Cornell and I have been on this spiritual journey together for many years. We began at Kripalu Yoga teacher training a long time ago. And she has been doing these telesummits and conferences for a long time now and is quite an expert. So I am delighted that she has been mentoring me through this process and has agreed to interview me today. So, Laura?
Hi, Elaine, and hi, everybody. It was exciting to see so many of your names, including names of people that I know and love on this call. And I know that many more will be probably listening to the recording. Elaine may send a recording out. And I just want to send out first a prayer and a blessing to Elaine in her new endeavor of taking the deep spiritual wisdom and spiritual presence that she has been sharing with so many through her travels all around the world. And I know that many of you are here on this call because you've met Elaine when she traveled to your community as a spiritual elder and a spiritual teacher, really, and healing, bringing healing in so many places and Quaker healing. And this call is really Elaine's way of reaching out and saying that she's entering a new phase of launching her spiritual direction practice, and I'm just so excited about that. So I'll just tell you briefly, I want to introduce Elaine briefly as my friend and an amazing teacher, and then we'll jump into our conversation about what is spiritual maturity, which I think is such a phenomenal topic, and I was excited when Elaine told me that's the topic she wanted to talk about. I've known Elaine for 19 years, and she is such an example of living spirituality in her life. She has a master's in social work, and she worked for many, many years as a clinical social worker. And when I knew her, she was going through a transformation to become a yoga teacher and a body worker and a healer. And so she did that for many years and then began traveling in the ministry. And she worked with me for, I think I worked with her in basically spiritual direction. We were friends, I should say, first when I was doing the Kripalu Yoga teacher training, and then we were friends in Quaker meeting. And she met with me when I was founding a nonprofit. And I love the title of this talk today, Blessings in Peril, on the path to breaking open. And, you know, really any major journey in our life is a path of breaking open. And I was certainly breaking open when I was launching a nonprofit. And she helped me with not so much the technical end of the nonprofit, but the breaking open part. And so I just know she's an expert guide and midwife to the ways of the spirit as they break us open in so many delightful and sometimes frightening and difficult ways. And so I've been at retreats and workshops that Elaine has led, and I've had the honor of having her sit next to me as an elder and a spiritual companion when I was leading workshops. And so I just know what a wonderful companion she is for anyone on the spiritual path. So I think that's my introduction of you, Elaine. Have I missed anything that I should mention?
I don't think so at all. Not at all.
Oh, one thing. Very, very important. Elaine is the one who was sitting next to me when I was married. And, you know, is the one that I wanted to ask to be in that role of holding space for all those gathered and space for my new husband and myself, and did such a beautiful job. So really, and I think just stepping into this new adventure of a Trellis seminar and wanting to reach out to so many people has just taken it with such a beautiful attitude of how can I open to newness and how exciting is this adventure, and really wanting to welcome people, all of you, even people that she might not be able to talk to up close, but still to be able to talk from a distance. So, Elaine, I think we should start with, and, you know, really this is open to you wherever you want to take this conversation, but I would love to hear, why do you love to offer spiritual direction? And I know that's what you're wanting to move into now, is to really open your practice of spiritual direction. Why do you love it so much, and how has your own spiritual journey brought you to this point of clarity that that's the next step for you in your life?
Thank you, Laura. I also want to welcome everybody from different pieces of the planet, both today and in the future. And I would love to sit down and have a catch-up with each and every one of you. It's enticing to think about that possibility. And I would like to go to that place of asking for faithfulness for myself, and that I am faithful to the words that are given to me. And I ask that each of you hear the words that you need to hear. And I am quite sure that we will be blessed in that way. And that is why I am totally excited about offering spiritual direction. I have been doing this for a long time, and I absolutely love doing spiritual direction. And the reason that is true, there are many reasons that's true for me, but one of the big ones is that being up close and personal with people that are reaching for the divine, for a deeper place in themselves, feeds me, and it's exciting to watch. And it feels like that is the work that has been given to me. And I, at this point in my life, want to stay home. And yet I'm not at all released from this piece of work. And so doing it in this model, which is totally beyond my scope of comfort, seems like a way to challenge myself and to be able to connect with people who want to join me on this journey, that it would be helpful for them to be on this journey. And so that's the piece that's right there right now. If now's the time to talk about my own personal journey and some of this, I would be glad to do that, Laura.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you and I had talked about when we were thinking about this call was what that has looked like for you. And though, and just in, maybe even in relation to spiritual maturity. And I was very intrigued by that title, Spiritual Maturity, that you really wanted to talk about it. And I, you know, what, I'm guessing that that's a never-ending process. Being mature doesn't mean we're all grown up. But I'd love to hear what have been some of those important pieces in your journey that have brought you to understanding what is spiritual maturity?
Well, thank you. Yes, spiritual maturity is a process, just like any kind of other maturing, whether that's physical, psychological, social maturing. So there, it is a never-ending process, and it doesn't end up with there isn't a goal to get to the end. And so some of my own pieces about this that have come to me to talk about today are the ones about how that spiritual opening, some of them have happened for me. And I will start with the fact that I was a very pious little girl, I would say, and I would also say I was very spiritual from a very young age. I don't ever remember not being connected with the spirit. And as some of you know, I was very Catholic at that time. My family was Catholic. I was more Catholic than my family was. And the first piece that I want to talk about in the early 60s, I was a young mother, early 20s, and there was a new offering out there called the pill, and in the Catholic Church it was known as a birth control. And I was not at all in favor of this. And the doctor that I went to suggested that I go on the pill because to regulate my periods. And I went to the local priest and asked him about this. And his response was, Elaine, that's a medical question. You ask your doctor that. You don't ask your priest that. Now, from this vantage point, that seems very wise, but for me at that time, it began a crack in my foundation, in everything I thought I knew. I thought that there was an answer from the Catholic Church that would lead me, and that all I would have to do is ask the priest, and he would tell me. And so that point began this very uncomfortable questioning and knowledge that I had to dig deep in myself. And it took a very long time for that to happen. Then there became a point where I went to an ordination of a friend of mine. He became a deacon in the Catholic Church, and I was very grateful for him to invite me, and I think maybe he might even be on this call. And he and his wife are very spiritual people, and during that ceremony, there was nothing about his spirituality, his faithfulness, his knowing. It was all about his obedience to the bishop, and that was the point that pretty much turned me off totally from the Catholic Church. And since then, after leaving and going many places, I have come back to the place where I can really, really rejoice and know that the ritual, the history, the depth, the knowledge, all of those things are huge gifts into my life that came from that beginning point. And those are very important in my life. The understanding about sacraments, is hugely important to me, and I don't think I would have ever been able to do it without that background. And I'm not talking now about the sacraments as what the Catholic Church names as the outward motions, but those inward motions, those inward times when we're baptized, those times when we have a connection with the divine, those times of communion, those times of forgiveness or asking for forgiveness, those sacred moments are pivotal to my understanding of myself today. As I talk about this, it brings up tears. And one of the things I know about tears for myself is that when there are tears, it's usually because I'm saying something that's close to my core and true for me.
That's beautiful, Elaine. What I'm hearing and what you're saying is, on the one hand, I mean, I it's so funny all the times that I've been with you, and yet every time there's a new sharing, a new talk, I learn something new about you. I had never heard this piece of your story. A number of the things you just shared are very touching to me about being more Catholic than your family, being so faithful, and yet starting to have that crack in the ultimate, you know, total reliance on the word of the priest, both when they didn't have the question for you about the pill. What a simple, basic, but powerful story example. And then your friend, the bishop, your friend, no, not the bishop, someone under the bishop being that his ceremony was much more focused on obedience than on faithfulness, and I'm just guessing that didn't jive with who you are or your deep truth and leading you into more deep explorations of other paths. And yet now, so many years later, recognizing with the tenderness of tears how really the roots of your spirituality, this idea of forgiveness, coming from that early, the real what you were given from your Catholic upbringing, really, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, yes. So it's reclaiming that inheritance.
Right.
And I just want to make clear a couple of things there. One is that I think we knew need to be extremely obedient, but it's obedient to the divine or that inner core, not to a particular person or a bishop or some such thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I just want to mention is that many people have matured very well staying in their faith tradition that they were born into. This
yeah.
just happens to be my path. But regardless, it demands that piece of breaking open and giving up the early belief system into something more and more complex and textured.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk about this intriguing idea that fear or discomfort are not signs you're on the wrong path, or necessarily, because oftentimes when we're uncomfortable, we think we're doing something wrong. So I'd love to hear you talk about why being uncomfortable is not necessarily a sign you're on the wrong path.
Thank you. That's for many of us, we have to reclaim that sense of fear physically, which is quite important. And I am talking about something different than that. I am talking about the place where when we begin who have stirrings deep inside of us that are not the same as what we have been familiar with in our life recently. And we're scared to death. I think pretty much all of us are afraid when we begin to be asked, I mean asked internally, to do something different, to break the taboos of our own making sometimes, not just the taboos of the family or the culture around us. And that is a very uncomfortable, scary place to be. And of course, we can do that by ourselves. But it's much more helpful, or it's much more, it's easier to go through that hard process if we have somebody to walk with us in that process. And the process that we, the image that I often use is about midwifing. And of course, we know that people have, women have been having babies by themselves and still do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet to have a midwife there to walk you through the process,
mm-hmm.
not to do the birthing, but just to witness, is quite a comfort.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about how even very mundane experiences can be a doorway to the divine, or painful experiences. Do you want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about what it's like? I like this image of a midwife. What are some of the problems of trying to move through your own spiritual life or the pitfalls without that midwife?
Well, certainly many of us feel crazy when we begin to be asking, when something is asked of us that we haven't been doing before. And that is a very hard thing to do alone. And the other thing is if we don't have somebody out there to affirm what's going on, often we try to shut it down or to reason it out or to figure it out or sometimes even to cover it up by all sorts of addictions, whether it's shopping or eating or the obvious ones of drugs and alcohol, relationships. So trying to mask that deep call because it is uncomfortable, because it is difficult, it is easier, much easier to do if there's a community and if there are particular people. It of course, it can happen in isolation, but a faith community and a particular accompaniment is just easier.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel crazy. We don't feel like we are unknown and unseen. We don't feel invisible. We can
mm-hmm.
take courage and make those responses much more vigorously than we might if we were trying to do it all by ourselves.
Yeah. Elaine, do you want to give us examples of how this works? I know you maintain confidentiality for the people you work with. I'm not asking you to tell someone else's story where you don't have permission, but there may be some story you could share without a name or give an example or somebody who has said you could share their story. I think it'd be wonderful to hear an example or two of how this works.
You mean spiritual direction works.
You can use me as an example when we work together. Or I know I saw on your beautiful website you have some beautiful photos, people who've worked with you. So I don't know if there's stories you want to tell.
You know, I'm going to tell a story of somebody that's not up there.
Okay.
A young man who... who was very stirred by the spirit. And, you know, when you're a young person and the divine is nudging you, it's not what most people, most young folks are focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to be isolated and taken out in that way. And so anyhow, we met on the phone for probably most of a year. He went to college against his parents' wishes, because that's what he was led to do. He even went someplace that didn't make any sense because he kept listening to that inner guide. And having somebody to come and talk to about that, to test out, you know, am I really just going off the edge, or am I really just being a bullheaded, foolish person? Gave him the confidence to go ahead and do this. And my role in that was to listen, to ponder, to hold, to ask questions, not questions of mine so much as questions that seemed he was posing to himself, or that he was answering to himself and yet was arguing with himself about things that he already knew. And now he's about through college, and it feels very different. He has found a community of people who are more like him, so he can breathe easier. And his parents are easier with him, not because he's doing what they want him to do, but because he has gotten so grounded in himself that they can see that and no longer have the same kind of pressure on him to be what they want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of space. When people come to spiritual direction, a lot of it is just providing a mirror for what they already know.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get out of the way as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Even though spiritual direction is very serious, it does not have to be somber. And there's almost always lots of laughter and delight mixed with the tears and the questioning and the searching.
Yes, I remember that from when you and I were working together in that way. So, you know, Elaine, we may want to open it up for questions. We may want to open the lines up for comments. But I'm thinking that, and I'll also open this, Elaine, for where you want to go and maybe any other things you want to say about spiritual maturity. But I'm wondering if you want to say anything more specific about launching your practice, you know, now that you, I think you were so beautiful when you said your clear spirit is leading you to be home and has not released you from this this work of really being a companion to people on their spiritual journeys. Do you want to talk about what a session is like or how people can reach out to you and ask for a session? There may be people on the line who would like a session, or there may be people on the line who can think of someone or know someone who they want to recommend. You know, maybe they know someone in college going through what you said or someone like that. And could you show people how that works? And then we'll see where Spirit is leading us next. What do you think about that?
Okay. I will walk you through how to sign up, and then I'll talk a bit about what that would be like. So if you would go to your computer and go to www.elaineemily.com, that's ElaineEmily.com.
So Elaine Emily, and then there's in the middle, there's going to be two E's right next to each other, huh? I have to remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to sign up, you would go to sessions. And the one that I would suggest right now would be the one-time introductory offer that I'm offering in March. So it's $70 for a trial March offering. And so I wanted to make it a way for people to be introduced to this and see if that was something they really resonated with. So if you go to my website and then the sessions registration, then there's a one-time March only session. And if you would just click on that, add your name and email address, and then hit submit. And then in the middle of a page is the one-time PayPal, so you would hit that. And enter your information there. And when that's done, then you can register for a session. And there are lots of sessions in March, so that is, there should be no trouble finding a time that fits for both of us. So that's the way you sign up for a session.
Beautiful. And they get, tell me if I'm right about this, because I know you had mentioned this to me before. I'm not sure I got this right, but they will get an email with a link to your calendar that says when they could meet, and it translates the time zones for them, I believe. So even if they're in Australia, when they can see your calendar and it translates to Australia time or
yep.
U.S. time, different time zones, and then they can pick what works for them and that they'll be scheduled with you. So they get that in their email, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so cool. And I know we have the lines muted so that we can have a nice recording, and But I just want to celebrate how beautiful your website is. And I know if people were unmuted, we would have some other people oohing and aahing with us. I love that photo and the design. So congratulations to you, Elaine, for stepping into this new adventure.
Thank you.
What happens when they get on the phone for this introductory? What can they expect? What's it like?
So usually, like today, one of us will start with a prayer for faithfulness. And then we might have a couple of minutes of greetings and just kind of checking in about where we are right now, mostly where you are right now. And then probably most of the time I invite people to lay that aside, and we will spend some time intentionally breathing deeper, getting in touch with your body, looking inside for what is underneath that beginning part. And that might take several seconds or minutes. And then that what is rising from that deeper part of yourself. And I'm looking for more reflections rather than words. There might be lots and lots of words and lots of ideas and excitement flying back and forth. And it might be a very contemplative, quiet time so that it provides a space for you to look deeper inside yourself, that invitation. And then what leads each of us from the heart is the work for that day.
Mm.
It may come to me. Most likely it will come from you. And then we will listen to spirit, and we may continue the rhythm of going back and checking in and seeing what resonates. So slowing down the process and sitting with ourselves and reflecting. And so it's looking for your inner teacher. Not what you necessarily habitually do out of habit, but from the center of your being. And it's very, very simple and the most difficult thing you'll ever have to do. It's quite a privilege to accompany people here. It's a very, very vulnerable place for both of us. And I say both of us because we won't allow ourselves to be vulnerable if the other person's not vulnerable also. And so going to that vulnerability and inviting it and honoring it. And that dance back and forth and back and forth so that you can live your life in this world as we know it and move back to that more sacred place. So it's not trying to take you out of the world, but how to bring that sacredness into the world. So that's the way I see it.
It's beautiful, Elaine. It really, really, really is. And I just want to clarify, you work with people in all denominations and non-denominations and pagans, and do you want to say anything about why spiritual maturity has nothing to do with denomination or spiritual direction or this process you're doing? I know you help people in all paths, but do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I do. Denominations give us a language and a voice and a way to talk about this deep inner resonating. And like I said for myself, sometimes that happens within our faith community that we were born into, or whatever that community. Many of us were born into not a faith community. There were a number of us that are born into agnostic situations, and all of that is a perfect kind of stew to bring this with. And so while for many people it is important to go with that, whatever that early place was, the fact is we all carry that early place with us forever and ever and ever. None of us ever completely eradicate that place. So we bring that to us. But as we grow and change, then we also, many of us, go other places and find other language or other metaphors that work for us, work better for us. And so while having a language, having a metaphor, and I certainly believe wholeheartedly that having a faith community is the only way to really do our spiritual work, it doesn't have to be a particular faith community or dogma. And so I think listening for that movement is the thing that I have a gift for. And it doesn't depend on the package. Does that make sense to you, Laura?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I'd love to hear, you intrigued me there. You piqued my curiosity and you got me thinking about my own life when you said you really believe that the faith community is where, did you say only? Or it's where our best growth happens? What was that exactly?
I probably said that I think that's where the most growth happens. Maybe I said mm-hmm. that's the only place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the only place, but I think it is the place where we make the most growth.
Mm-hmm.
Is in having that community around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are interactive social humans. We are social animals. We are not isolated and develop all on our own. That's not our nature.
Right.
And to discover the other and our own most true self, we need mirrors and people to bounce against.
Yeah. You know what's coming to me now, Elaine? I'm going to make a suggestion and tell me how this feels to you, because we hadn't decided this in advance. But especially given what you just said, that we are mirrors to each other and we need to bounce against each other for our growth, I think I'm very curious and interested in opening this up to bouncing against our listeners, and maybe taking one or two comments or a few comments from the people listening. How do you feel about that?
I think that sounds quite exciting.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking today, I heard hardly ever just talk. I always bring the people into it, and it makes it much richer and more exciting.
Okay, so
because
here's how this works.
Wisdom. Yes.
Yeah, there's tons of wisdom. Here's how this works, everyone. If you would like to share what is stirring in you, you can press star 2, and that will raise your hand. I'm going to come back in the other room where Elaine and I may echo. I hope we don't create an echo chamber, Elaine. So that I can unmute you. Press star 2 to raise your hand. And I think we would love to hear what is this dialogue awakening you, and give a mirror back to Elaine, perhaps, on how this is touching you or how this is showing up in your lives, this whole theme of spiritual maturity, of being on the spiritual path of fear or discomfort, not necessarily meaning that something's wrong, or just the whole idea of spiritual direction, or any questions about that. So again, press star 2 to raise your hand, and I am, believe it or not, changing places with Elaine. So star 2 to raise your hand.
And I'm in a different room, so I can't see you raising
we
your hand, but Laura
room.
Will.
Okay, I see you there, and I don't see hands going up, so star 2 to raise your hand. Okay, we have a hand. This is, let's see, can you read that name for me? Preston Charlotte. Hi, Preston.
Hi, it's
Hello,
really
Charlotte.
Preston.
It's Charlotte.
Hi, Elaine. and actually, I don't have a question, but I did want to let you test your equipment. So we do have the capability of raising hands.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Weren't standing here all alone.
Exactly.
It's working. Okay. We have another hand up. And there's no name on this, no caller ID, but if you, the other person who put your hand up, you are now unmuted.
Leslie Grant from Australia.
Hello.
Hi, Elaine. I just want to say, over my lifetime of spiritual seeking, that being accompanied at key points has really made a tremendous difference. Because many times you don't have the wider perspective when you're caught up in something. And just having the witness of someone else who can be there with you and maybe offer the wider perspective can help you to find the next step when you're in an interesting spot.
That's a good way of saying that, yes. An interesting spot.
Okay, thank you. Again, it's star 2 to raise your hand, and if you just want to say hi to Elaine, you can press star 2. You can also ask any questions. This is, and I'm sorry that I can't probably read the whole thing, Enhanced Transcom?
It's Margot from Atlantic Canada.
Okay.
I would like
Hello,
to agree. Hi, sweetie. I haven't figured out the film on my iPad yet, so I'm still working on it. But I would like to say I agree with our friend from Australia that this is vitally important because we're all dealing with issues as we age, especially, that can be difficult. And to appreciate them with an open heart is something we need to do together. And so I'm very grateful for this evening's time, and that's what I want to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And what that sparked in me is that some of what I think this spiritual journey is about is seeing and accepting what is.
Yes.
And that sounds very simple, but once again, it's very difficult. And the seeing and the accepting is quite a lifelong process.
Yeah.
That 20-year-old girl that I was, you know, I thought I saw, and from this perspective, I know that I didn't, and it's been all a process of just noticing what is.
Yes.
And living with it. And certainly as getting older, like you say, Margot, there's a lot of what is, which is different than what is, what was yesterday.
What was, that's the issue. Oh, indeed. It's an adventurous journey to grow old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope we all do it that way, as an adventurous journey.
I hope so,
journey.
Too. Yes. Awesome, Elaine. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Big hugs.
Yes, indeed. Huge hugs.
I love that, and I'm finding that even at 49, things are not what they was.
You have no idea once you're almost 70.
Just wait. I know. Just wait, they say. Okay. I'm going to keep waiting. Elaine, we might have time for one more if somebody wants to press star 2 before we say goodbye. Let us know you're here, or any comment for Elaine before we say we sign off for the night or the morning if you're in Australia. We have Friend's House in Santa Rosa. You are unmuted from Friend's House. Hello.
And that would be you. Oh, I guess not.
Oh, it sounds like she...
Hello?
Got... Oh, hi.
Hello.
I just cut you off. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Good,
glad you're here.
Yes. I wanted to speak for those of us who came from the agnostic position or the tradition, if you can call it that, and for whom the very idea of a spiritual journey or of spiritual calling was just not anything that had ever occurred to us, really. And when I found myself becoming a Quaker, to my surprise, and found myself, looking back on it, feeling led to take certain actions, it was, what? I had no idea what to do with it. I had no idea. It felt like either I didn't feel like I was crazy necessarily, but it felt like I was either just taking things too seriously or taking myself too seriously or no real clarity of what to do with that kind of thing until I hooked up with and became friends with Elaine and began talking with her about some of these things, and it still felt, and to this day sometimes feels like, what? Oh, come on. I couldn't have come to a place where I don't think that I would have come to a place where I would have stepped up to the plate and done some of the things that I was led to do and said some of the things I was led to say if I hadn't spent that time with you, Elaine. And I just wanted to pass that on.
Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome.
You know, you've been a gift of accompaniment to me, and
I know that. It still astonishes me that that's
to know that.
It still astonishes me that that's true, and I know that it is. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ditto.
All right. So, Elaine, I think we're at the end of our time. Do you have any goodbyes you want to say or any final word?
You know, I want to thank everybody for being here. It's been quite a joy to me, and it is clearly the beginning of the rest of my life. And I have no idea what's coming, but I am grateful for all of you to help launch this and to, I'm assuming you'll accompany me wherever this takes me, and I'm grateful to have your accompaniment. Thanks.
That's beautiful, Elaine. So before we sign up, I'm the one standing at the computer, so I just want to remind everyone, Elaine's beautiful smiling face is on her beautiful new ElaineEmily.com, spelling out her name, ElaineEmily.com, and there's a, I'm not looking at it right now, but there is a button that's at the top to sign up for sessions, and then you go through the process, and she is recommending just one session, and she's having a special offer as part of her opening, really, of this spiritual direction at home, reaching out around the globe practice. And so, Elaine, thank you for including me in this journey. Thank you for the honor of getting to talk with you and reminding me and centering me in the mysteries that come along with opening ongoingly to the spirit. And thank you for all that you are in the world.
Thank you. It's quite a delight.
Okay. Good night, everybody. I'm going to stop the recording. If you're here, we
good
may
night.
Unmute them.
Goodbye. Good morning. Good day.
I'm going to stop the recording. Goodbye, everyone. And